I'm going to share a little something. We don't want tonight to be mostly about a pastor getting up here and preaching, but I want to make sure that we understand why we're here. We understand why this is a good Friday. I note that today, traditionally, our attention is turned to the cross, and it should be. It should be. But tonight I want to turn our attention to a cup. And I've got a couple cups here. It's a little dark. I don't know if you can even see them. Can you see these little things? Here it is. It's a cup. It's like a goblet. Isn't that a weird word? Goblet. It's a goblet. You see, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I've been there, and that's just, it's unbelievable to be in that place. He was praying, though, and this was his prayer. It's found in Luke 22, beginning of verse 42. He says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. You see, Jesus knew what was about to go down, what was about to happen. He understood he was about ready to drink from that cup of God's wrath. And here's the deal with that cup. All hell was distilled in that cup. All sin, all the sin of mankind for all time was in that cup of wrath. For Jesus, the place of drinking from that cup was the cross, where he was about to die. But why did Jesus have to drink from the cup of wrath? I mean, I just was even on Facebook, not always a great place to be, not a good use of time usually, but anyway, I'm human, all right? So I end up there every once in a while, and sometimes there's encouragement there, but I was very discouraged because I was reading a post from a young man who was saying that he didn't believe that Jesus needed to die and go to the cross and that God could have and should have done this another way. It saddened me because this young man knows the truth. He knows the truth. You see, the reason that Jesus had to drink from that cup of wrath is because we got a problem, people. This world, we got a problem. If there was a screen up here, there'd be point number one on the screen. There's a problem. We got a problem. And we're going to cut right to the chase. The problem is sin. Right? Sin destroys lives. Destroys families. It even destroys nations. Sin brings destruction, it brings pain, it brings brokenness. Sin tricks us into accepting a less than existence and ultimately separates us from the very one who created us to enjoy him now and forever. That's what sin does. And every one of us is faced with this problem. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You can look around. It's dark out there, so you don't have to. But look, every one of us, you, me, the person next to you, in front of you, behind you, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because God's perfect and loving, sin had to be dealt with. He's holy. He's righteous. And sin needed to be dealt with. And so there's a cup that's been getting filled up, being filled with God's wrath, and it has to be released upon sin and all who practice sin. Here's some more insight. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." So the penalty of sinning is death. It's physical death and spiritual death that involves eternal separation from God. It involves hell. And that's a problem. But here's the amazing thing. Who created the problem, first of all? We did, didn't we? Mankind did. But who solves the problem? God solves the problem. It says, again, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're starting to get an understanding why this is a Good Friday? Why we're able to celebrate the goodness of God as we're remembering the cross? So that brings us to point number two, the solution. We got the problem is sin. The solution is that motivated by love, driven by love, God offers the solution. God does. He doesn't say, hey, you all got yourself into this mess. Maybe you told your kids that before. You got yourself into the mess, get yourself out. God didn't do that with us. Because he's good, because of this banner up here, because of love. He's love. So he brings a solution, a gift, a solution for us. And I want to go to Romans 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still offending him, Christ died for us. God gave us the gift of the solution. Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood that was spilled on that Good Friday, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath from this cup? How much more shall we be saved from having to drink from this cup through him, through Christ? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been received reconciliation. So listen, the problem has been dealt with. God brought the gift, the solution, and dealt with the problem. He paid the price. And then on Resurrection Sunday, he closed the deal for all time. It's a done deal. Jesus is a solution. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, we're really good at saying that. How many of you can just rattle that one right off, right? And sometimes we miss the God gave his own son. What does it mean he gave his son? Well, he sent him to earth to be born in a manger and to do miracles and all that. No, he gave his son to drink the cup of wrath that we should be drinking. That's ours. For God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his son for that purpose, that whoever would believe upon him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it continues, verse 17, for God, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And there's probably some people even right now that need to hear that. They think God is some vengeful God that just is wanting to smack everybody around. No, God sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. To take upon himself what we deserved. It's a Good Friday. Folks, it's a Good Friday. This is the goodness of God. It's kind of like this. We're all in line waiting our turn to drink this cup. This cup of wrath. But before we get there, Jesus cut in line in front of us. He cut in line. I usually don't like when people cut in front of me. But in this case, I really like it. Jesus cut in front of me. And he took the cup. And he drank it. That's the goodness of God. That's the gift of salvation. In Christ, and in Christ alone. Problem solved. The innocent one takes death, we receive life. Jesus takes the wrath of God, we receive his forgiveness. This is what we're celebrating. This is why we can come together and clap and raise our hands and sing and rejoice and have smiles on our face and be hugging one another. Because we have encountered the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I want to take a look at one more cup, though. That's why I brought two cups up here. This is really, I would say this second cup is the cup of, of life, the cup of God's goodness. Just before Jesus was taken to be crucified, understanding what was about to happen, he's sitting with his disciples, right? He's hanging out, and they're having the Passover dinner. And he made this prophetic declaration. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Jesus took the cup. Wasn't this cup at this time. We'll say it was this cup. He took a cup. He gave thanks. He offered it then to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So Jesus is about ready to drink from this cup right here, the cup of wrath. And he offers his disciples, his followers, a different cup. A cup that brings life. A new covenant in him. This is the goodness of God. This is Good Friday. This is love. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood," Jesus said, "which is poured out for you." And then I just want to quickly, before I finish up here, I want to dive all the way back to Exodus. I want to go way back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. There's four promises that are made in this passage of Scripture to the people of God, to the Israelites at the time. And these four promises laid the foundation for the nation and became the crucial elements for their Passover celebration. These four promises that are in, again, once again, Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these four promises that are made in this passage of Scripture are also represented by four cups in the Seder meal. How many of you have ever participated in a Seder meal? If you haven't, you know what? We ought to do one sometime. I think Pastor Tim has done these before. Anyway. So these four promises that they would remember in the Seder meal, that they continue to remember in the Seder meal. Here's the deal. Those four cups, those four promises, they were all fulfilled in the cup that Jesus offers us. The cup of the new covenant. All of those promises are applied to us. Again, the goodness of God. Jesus takes this cup, the cup of wrath. He gives us this cup, the cup of life, and these promises. And I want to just quickly read these four promises. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, is the cup of sanctification. Scripture says, "I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." This is God speaking to his people, a promise that he's making to his people, a cup that he's offering his people, this cup of sanctification. It's a reminder of being set apart as special and holy to God. When we take and we drink of that cup of the new covenant that Christ offers us, we are set apart, sons and daughters, special, his people. The second cup of those four promises in Exodus 6 is the cup of deliverance. Scripture says, "I will free you from being slaves." Freedom. Freedom comes when we drink this cup of the new covenant. When we partake in new life in Christ Jesus, we walk into freedom. And whom the Son sets free, John 8:36, who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. That means you're really free. You're free. Free, free. I like that. Free, 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 free. Anyway, I was watching basketball, heard a commercial. Free, free, free. Anyway, that's it right there, right? It should be in the middle of the commercial. I just wanted to go on and go, "Jesus set you free, 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 free. In Christ, you're free, free, free." Anyway, the cup of deliverance. The third cup represented in Exodus 6 is the cup of redemption. Scripture says, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." We're redeemed from being objects of wrath. You're no longer dirty, rotten, scoundrel, sinner. When we come to Christ and we drink of the cup of the new covenant in Christ Jesus, We are made new. We're born again. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We've been redeemed. And I just want to tell you right now, if there's nothing else that you walk home with right now, hopefully you're not walking home unless you live around the corner. But anyway, that's a side note. If you need a ride, Pastor Tim Thompson will give you a ride, okay? So, and if you're from Evident Life, Pastor Phil will give you a ride. You know that. Phil K at EvidentLife.org, you know. Anyway, so I want to make sure that we understand, because Jesus drank from this cup, the cup of wrath, and because we responded to his love and that free gift and drank from the cup of life, the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Did you know that we are no longer sinners? We are saints. When you read the New Testament, when you read Scripture, those who are in Christ Jesus are born again. We have a new identity. When God does something, he does it all the way. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are not who you used to be. You have been made new. You have drunk from the cup of redemption. The final one is the cup of restoration. Exodus 6:7 says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. We become part of his family. No longer orphans, no longer wondering who you belong to or why you're here. This is Good Friday. This is the goodness of God. This is what Easter is all about. In many ways, it's about two cups, right? It's about the cup that Jesus drank, the cup of wrath, and the cup of blessing that we're offered. And so the question tonight really is, which one will you drink from? Which cup will you drink from?